both of those songs are all about the hope we have in Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Amen? Wonderful Savior. Well, you've got your Bible open to Matthew chapter 15. We're verses 1 to 10 through 20. And today, what we're going to do is this. We are going to define the sins in our hearts. That's what we're going to do. We're going to define the sins, listen to me, that don't live out here, okay, but they live in here. And I'll just tell you this, there's not an opt out. That's not me. Because I want to tell you, after Adam, we are all born with this sinful nature, and those sins are in our hearts. Now, I'm telling you, it's not warm fuzzies. But I will tell you this, it's just the fact of the matter. And listen to me, today, if you'll just think about this as I'm preaching, if you'll just think about this, I'm not talking about the bad you outwardly do, okay? I just want you to think about the thoughts you have. And I'll tell you, every evil thought that you have doesn't come from what influences you out here. It comes from right here. In other words, the sins in your heart, not your wife's problems, it's not your boss's problem at work, they're right in here. I think now y'all would all like to go home. Well, lock the doors, okay? You're here for a few minutes anyway. No, I'm glad you're here, and I pray that you'd learn from it this week. So last week we looked at this text, and we dug out of it three things about false teachers. First of all, we have a duty to resist false teaching. Do you know one of the qualifications of being an elder or a pastor in the church is not only just to know doctrine, but to refute false doctrine? You got to know it well enough to speak against it. Secondly, we learned that we must not sit under false teaching. Must not allow our children to go and sit under false teaching. Ken Ham's got a new book out. Is it released yet? Will They Stand? And let me tell you the answer to that. Right now, about 90% are not standing against evil. Not going on with the Lord. And if they're not grounded by a church and their parents, they will not stand. They cannot stand because there's nothing to stand on except the truth of God's Word. Thirdly, we saw last week that false teaching is everywhere. I don't suggest it, but I would just tell you to go home and flip on TBN and just check them off. Just check them off. It's everywhere. We also saw that here's what we're to do with false teaching. We're to wait, preach, teach, protest, pray, practice church discipline, and wait to that end time. Y'all remember at the end time what's going to happen to false teaching? Or a false teacher is going to be rooted up. And not only that, but it's rooted up. And after it's rooted up, it will be cast into the fire. Wycliffe says this. The truth, listen to me. I'm telling you, in this world, the truth will endure. Listen, I said in this world. At the end time, his truth will prevail. In verses 1 through 9 of this chapter, we learn from Jesus the danger of traditions. And the main danger of tradition is this. We'll make tradition more important than the commands of Scripture. And that's exactly what happened in these verses in verses 1 through 9. We also looked at two things that always reveal a hypocrite. Y'all ready? This may be for you. This may be somebody that you know. Two things always reveal a hypocrite. Their actions are external and not coming from the heart. They only do to gain approval. Not out of a love for their heart. For God. For Christ. I'm reading a book now about the glory of Christ. You know what? And man, it's wearing me out. How many times a week do you say, God, show me your glory? And that's biblical. And right now, the book I'm reading, it's all about how many different ways that we can see His glory in Christ Jesus. That's the only place we can see God's glory, is in the face of Christ Jesus. Now we can see it in creation and things that happen. So, first of all, the actions of a hypocrite are always external. They don't come from the heart. They're not sincere. And secondly, we saw that the teachings of a hypocrite are not from God, but normally based on human tradition. Listen, somebody trying to teach you something, listen to me. Just ask them this. Show me the Scripture. That's the proof. And listen, I'm not talking about taking one verse out of context. I'm talking about show me from the law, show me from the Psalms, show me from history, show me from the prophets, show me from the writings of Jesus, show me from the writings of Paul. Just show me the Scripture. I have somebody regularly tells me they don't believe it's faith alone. And I really believe they've only got one Scripture to hang it on, and that's in the James Scripture. Show me some more Scripture that says it's not by faith alone. Today we take on purity in the impure heart that all the sin comes from, and we'll really unpack this next week and look at how we might solve this. So let's quickly review the Scripture. I'm back in Romans. I'm not sure how much of this you have. I'm sorry, I'm in Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. Not in Romans yet. Okay, you guys there? And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. How many times do we ask God, help us to understand? That's a good thing to ask Him, to help us have understanding. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. So you know where all that comes from. All the foods that were called clean and all the food that was unclean. Even an unclean food, it wasn't the thing to do at this time because God had given them unclean foods. But He says even unclean food, it goes in the mouth and out the body. That's not what defiles a person. The Savior turns off His discourse with the Pharisees and the scribes, and He begins to turn and teach the multitude of people. You know why He did that? Because the multitude was more teachable than the Pharisees and scribes. Y'all kind of want to get a comparison of this? I went back to the jail this week for the first time. I also went back to a nursing home this week for the first time since, quote, COVID. This is a year today was the last time we met, and then we missed six Sundays. All right, we're right back there. This is the first time I've been to the jail or have been to a nursing home. You know what? Those guys in the jail, they were thrilled to see me. I'd been passing out tracts, and last week on Thursday or Friday, I went and passed out tracts, and one of the guys said, his name's Chris. Chris said, Brother Bruce, when are you going to come back and preach? I said, Monday. Praise God, I was able to meet that appointment. They were glad to see me. They might be more teachable. Y'all ready? They might be more teachable than you. Huh? Just might. I'm not saying that they were or are, but they might be. Verse 12, then the disciples came and said to Him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? And what they heard was, you trust in tradition rather than commands of Scripture. And what Jesus had done, He said, look, you're washing your hands every time you turn around and after you come back from the market. That's not what defiles a person, is eating with an unwashed hand. Those are traditions. Verse 13, He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted, listen to this, it doesn't say may be rooted up. What's that word? Will or shall be rooted up. You know what that means? I know what privet hedge is. Do you know that's from China too? Really? That is an invasive plant from China. It ain't good for nothing. But there are some plants that might look like privet hedge. Okay? And I might not know the difference. But the Creator does. And those that are His spiritually planted, He knows. And those who are not spiritually planted by Him will be rooted up. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen that way. Every plant that my Heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Listen to this. This is a word for the church. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. If it's not obvious that they're false teachers, let me tell you, if it's obvious that somebody is in the church and teaching false doctrine, it is the responsibility of you as a church member, first of all, to confront them. And if that doesn't happen, it's the responsibility of the elders to confront them. But all you do is all you can do doing church discipline. Church discipline will, in this world, root out many false teachers. But if it doesn't, right? Don't worry about it. For all of us, there will be a day of judgment, including false teachers. These false teachers, instead of coming in at the door, you remember that scripture, John 10:9? Matter of fact, all of you in here ought to have it memorized. It's one of our answers in Genesis memory verses. And the King James says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Listen, there's only one way into heaven. It's not by your goodness. It's not by your traditions. It's not by you being a good person or a generous person. It's by Jesus and His works and His life and His death on the cross. It's the only thing that will save. He is the door. Anything else is a window. It may look like it got you on the right path. It may look like it's going to get you to heaven, but it won't. The Father did not plant them, but the Father will root them up on the last day. Verse 15, but Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. You ever read anything in the Scripture? And you think, what in the world is they talking about? Well, how many times do you go back and say, God, clear that up for me. Show me what you're talking about. That's what they did. And he said, are you also still without understanding? So we do well. They did well to want to be instructed. Okay? That's a good thing for us on Wednesday nights. You ought to come here because you want to be what? Instructed. Why do you come here on Sunday morning? You want to be edified. You want to worship the Lord. And you ought to have a desire to be instructed. Verse 17, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart, doesn't say from out of the world, doesn't say from out of your worst enemy in this world's life, but out of the heart. I'm sorry, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. How in the world could you commit any of these sins? Because the root of that came from Adam, and it is in our sinful nature, each one of us. I'd give you a challenging question here today. How long has it been a part of us? All sins proceed from our desires. Why did Adam and Eve eat the fruit? Because they looked at it and desired and lusted to have it. That's where it came from. From the desires of the heart. in the heart of man after things forbidden by the law of God. After Adam and Eve, we're all lawbreakers. And we desire those things that are forbidden by the commands of God. Now, Mark 7, 20 through 23, you've got it there in front of you, gives a little more comprehensive list. And matter of fact, that's the one I have memorized. And I have this in NIV because this is the way that I have it memorized. So, Mark explains it to me a little clearer. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. What kind of evil thoughts? Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Now, so what I've had to do this week, and I didn't intend to, this all happened Sunday afternoon or Monday. I didn't intend to preach this one. I intended to go right into what's the solution for what's going on in the heart. Well, I felt like I needed, these words are, some of them are pretty plain, but some of them are not words we use all the time. So I thought we needed to take a little closer look at it. Now listen, it's really important that you realize you're a sinner. Because if you don't see yourself as being anything except a good person, you will never turn to Christ for your salvation. And as a matter of fact, if you're not a sinner, you have no need of Christ. But this scripture teaches that everybody is a sinner. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, and the wages of that sin is death, eternal death, the judgment of God for an eternity in a burning hell. So these things are rooted in each of us. Me. Jeannie and I, you know, when you've been married for almost 50 years, I can finish her sentences. And I can almost get it verbatim. I mean, I can always quote her verbatim. But here's what we're thankful for. She doesn't know all my thoughts. And I don't know all of hers. Nor yours. And I'm glad I don't. But listen to me. I know my thoughts. I'm not talking about your actions this morning. You may be house broke. You may act right. But the whole time you're acting right, are you thinking about doing evil? We're going to define that evil this morning. And they are in the heart, they defile, they pollute. When they come off our tongue and pass our lips into the world, they pollute the world. If they lead to actions, they pollute the man. But listen closely. Listen, eating with unwashed hands is not what causes you to be a sinner. It's what's within that causes you to be a sinner. So, next week we'll really get into this, but I just kind of want to introduce it this morning. So Jesus is teaching about what defiles a man. And we need to listen, to learn, and apply. And the Lord teaches that the source of all sin is the human heart. And I said the human heart. The one you got from Adam. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you got a new heart. But you still got a old heart. Jeannie and I were talking about everything old passed away, everything's new. It doesn't do to apply that scripture to the old sinful nature that's in all of us. Because you'll just stop and think about it a minute. As one of our church members would say, sometimes the old just comes out. The Pharisees taught that those who observed their tradition were pure and clean in the sight of God. Just outwardly observe all the traditions, outwardly check off all the check marks, and you're pure and you're clean. But the Lord Jesus overturned this teaching by showing that the real defilement was not on the outside, but on the inside. And that's exactly what he's doing here. And I want to tell you, I believe he does it without a doubt. He does it in my life without a doubt. Verse 19 says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. Where? Evil thoughts come from the heart, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person. Mark 7:23 says, all these evils come from the inside and defile a person. People who want to live for the Lord need more than a bath. They need more than a washing of the hands or the washing of the feet or the washing of the body. They need a new heart and a new spirit. And next week we're going to talk about how we get that. All right, so I want to give you a list of 12. I could have missed one. I could have duplicated one, but here's a list of 12. It's a egg carton 12. It's not a, what's that other, baker's dozen. What about the 13? Is that the baker's dozen? Okay. It's not that. A list of 12, okay? Right, like you got at Walmart or wherever. Number one, this is where we start. Evil thoughts. Any thought that is contradictory of the Ten Commandments is an evil thought. And that's where it all starts. You know, it's amazing as I stand up here, and I'm glad I don't know your thoughts, but I'm quite sure, listen carefully, there's some of you that's already checked out this morning. Because you don't want to hear it. And I think it'd be a good time to say, Lord, I want to hear the truth. So evil thoughts, sins against all the Ten Commandments. This is the first thing that's born of a corrupt nature. Evil thoughts. Wow. I pray that I'm the only one that gets worn out all day long about my thoughts. But surely I'm not the only one that during the day to come to realize that I have thoughts that are in opposition to the Ten Commandments. Just let me give you one before we get to it. How easy is it to drag somebody else through the mud? Matter of fact, how easy is it to just do this, okay? Well, if you can't say anything good about that person, just don't say anything at all. Well, what have you just done? You just drug them through the mud and justified it. Well, listen, the Ten Commandments would say even thinking about dragging them through the mud is sin. Genesis 6:5, you know, want to know where this came from and how quickly it came? The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every thought of the imagination of his heart was what? Only evil continually. We came by it honestly. We got it from that booger. I slandered him. See? I just slandered him. He's gone. Can't even defend himself. It all came from Adam. Listen to me. And this is just a thought. I don't care how true it is about me. When you drag me through the mud, that's slander. These are the things that live, listen, in our house. Not in Bob's house for me. Not in Charles' house for me. This is what lives in my house. The home of my heart. And we pray that it doesn't get outside our thoughts and hearts, but sometimes it does. Look at Micah 2:1. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. Come on now. Somebody in here besides me has thought about during their sleep time doing bad things. I wasn't the only one. Paul was too. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When the morning dawns, wow, they perform it. Because it's in the power of their hand to do it. Number two, so evil thoughts is where it all comes from. Number two, theft. Sins against the 8th and 10th commandments. Number 8 is what? Thou shalt not steal. What's number 10? Thou shalt not covet. Theft comes from both of those, for sure. So, listen, you don't steal, but how about if you cheat just a little bit? Even on your taxes. I think he told them, pay what's due to Caesar. Covetousness. Listen to this one. Greed. Wow. You know what greed says? More, 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 more. Theft comes from desiring what we have no right to ownership. Taking something that we have no right to. So we've had evil thoughts, we've had theft. Number three, murder. Oh, I'd never do that. Well, you don't get off that easily. Sins against the 6th commandment. Hatred in our hearts for another person. I mean, you despise them. You go to work and you walk around them. You disdain them. You want nothing to do with them. Where in the world does this come from? It's not their fault. It comes from the heart. Look at Matthew 5:21 and 22. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder. In other words, you don't plunge the knife, pick up the rock, or fire the gun. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. We learned this in the Sermon on the Mount, but I say to you that everyone, is everybody listening this morning? Who is angry with his brother or his sister or his uncle or his wife or his pastor is liable to judgment. Whoever, listen to this, whoever insults his brother will be liable to the counselor. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Isn't it easy to blame our sinful heart on somebody else? Where do we get that? Well, I'm not going to mention his name anymore. You know where we got that. 1 John 3:15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I tell y'all all the time, there are some people that I have a hard time loving. Y'all don't have anybody like that? Well, how easily does that go from not loving them to have disdain for them? Evil thoughts, theft, murder. Number four, adultery or sexual immorality. Sins against the 7th commandment. It's just like the 6th commandment. Exactly the same thing. Listen, where does sexual immorality come from? From lust in our heart for things that are not rightfully ours. Greed, more, covetousness. There is adultery in the heart first, a desire that leads to action. Look at Matthew 5:27 and 28. You have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Listen to me, ladies. I think this scripture teaches everybody struggles with lust for things that are not ours, that are not justly ours. But listen to me, ladies, that's why your clothing matters. You are not to be a part of tempting a man to lust, because men are lustful creatures. Number five, false witness. Sins against the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not lying nine. Thou shalt not lie. Coming from falsehood and malice. If truth, holiness, and love where there are and where as they should be, listen, if truth, holiness, and love were where they should be, there would be no false witness. But it's not. We don't have truth, holiness, and love. So sometimes we bear false witness. Do you know we all have some besetting sins? We've all got three sins: pride, selfishness, and unbelief. Three root sins. But you know, some people could have the propensity to get angry. Or, listen, don't you know people that it's just as easy for them to lie as it is to tell the truth? That's their nature. That's one of their besetting sins. Well, does that justify? Huh? No! We'll talk about this in a minute. Whatever our besetting sin is, we are to be killing it. Even your pet sin. Even the sin that you can so easily justify. We are to be killing it. Oh, number six. I like this word. I don't like this word, but it's pretty bad. Malice. Wickedness. Hatred. Ill will. A desire to do bad towards other people. That's one of these sins. Now, we could have looked at this in several different spots. But this is what Paul says about himself. And I've got it in, I believe it's the New Living or the Living Bible. In the past, you voluntarily gave your bodies to the service of vice and wickedness, for the purpose of becoming wicked. But now, that's not who you are anymore. So now give yourselves to the service of righteousness for the purpose of becoming really good. Can we have malice in our heart, wickedness, hatred, ill will? Is that who I used to be? Yes. I should be moving away from that. I should be killing that out in my life. I should not lay on my bed at night thinking about doing evil. I ought to lay on my bed at night, get up in the morning thinking about doing what? Good. Listen, if we still lay on our bed at night and think about doing evil and don't quickly get convicted of it and repent of it, and we get up in the morning to work towards acting upon that, we've got a heart problem. We'll look at that more closely next week. Number seven, deceit, is wickedness and vice glossed over that it may be done in hiding. Are y'all with me now? Deceit. It's being one way in here, in your thinking, and another way in your actions. That's deceit. Wickedness and vice glossed over, done in hiding. Psalms 119, 113 would call it double-minded. I hate the double-minded. And we ought to hate, listen to me, we ought to hate the double-mindedness, deceit, the deceit that we know we have. We ought to be rooting it out. Lewdness. This would be one of those that would lead to the breaking of the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Filthiness of actions and talk. Foolish talking. An eye An eye looking to lust or an eye inviting lust? That's lewdness. All kinds of evil, including our dress, and listen, I'll just tell you, male or female. Lewdness, all kinds of evil that would lead to sexual immorality. That's lewdness. It's the act of indulging of all actions leading up to adultery. Number 9, envy. Envy is to be jealous of. To look upon because of what someone has with spite. To hold a grudge against. Or to be hot with jealousy towards someone. That's envy. Number 10, slander. This is a sin against the third commandment. You should not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Blasphemies. Blasphemies is speaking evil of God. How about this? Or speaking evil of a neighbor. Because that neighbor is made in the what? Image of God. Number 11, arrogance. Exalting ourselves above others. Looking down with scorn and contempt upon others would be arrogance. And folly or foolishness, number 12. Boasting to promote oneself. It's closely associated with pride. Rash speaking and actions that promote ourselves. Listen to me. Let me tell you the ultimate folly or foolishness. It's chasing headlong after the things of this world that will all be consumed on that day by fire. Listen to me. I told Jeannie sitting on the couch this morning, I believe that America, by the way, I heard a young man, you would know him probably, he raised up here, preached yesterday at that funeral. Listen, he did a really, really nice job. But Jeannie and I were talking about it this morning. I think that 90% of Americans are consumed with the things of this world. And listen to me carefully. And I believe that 90% of Americans never have a thought about death and eternity, about heaven, about God. Well, you know, if we're not thinking about heaven and God, you know what we're thinking about? The things of this world. That really concerns me. You know what we're going to spend a lot of time thinking about? The thing that is most important to us. So, the heart that we got from Adam and Eve and from mom and dad is evil and bent towards evil. Romans 7, 14 through 25. I pray that this would bring some closure upon today's message. So this defines what Paul says was going on in him. Y'all know Paul? You know where he was going on, what he was going to do when he was on the road to Damascus to arrest and persecute Christians, leading to their death, leading to murder. And this is what Paul says about his life after his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, after his salvation. Romans 7, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the... Y'all have it? You looking at it? Oh, Tammy's not here. Somebody besides Tammy's not here today is going to have to, when I stop at the word, you say it. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the sold under... Man, it's hard to say. Why is it so hard to say that I'm a sinner? For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. We're talking about Paul, 14 books of the New Testament. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells where? Yeah, that's the problem, the sinful nature in us. For I know that nothing good, verse 18, dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. In the flesh, you have no ability to live the Christian life. You have no ability to overcome sin. You have no ability, this is the big deal, to pay your sin penalty. It has to be paid by another. Verse 19. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Verse 20, now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but what? Sin that dwells where? Within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Wow. I forget now the context. Well, I know what the context was, but it's amazing how close a man is to being stupid. To committing the worst of sins. Sins that might even send you to jail. How close is it? Come on now. Right in here. And the highest arrogance and pride that there can be is to look at a serial killer or a rapist and to say these words, I would never do that. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. It's in there. The law of God's where? It's also in the inner being. The question's going to be for next week, how does it get there? But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Nobody except Christ. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind and my heart and my soul, but with the flesh and in the flesh I'll serve the law of sin. You know what I'd call it? Battle royal. And it's going to go on until the day we breathe our last here. Be no more sin. This sin that we're talking about defiles the soul. It causes the soul to be unlovely and despicable to the eyes of a pure and holy God. In this state, there's no communion with Him. You remember what happened? Where was Adam? Where was God in the garden with Adam and Eve in the beginning? He was there with them. What happened when they sinned? He was outside the garden. They were outside the garden. They put up an angel with a sword to keep them coming in communion with God. There's no communion with Him, with the sinful nature, until it's dealt with. In this state, there'll be no dwelling with Him in the New Jerusalem. There will be only the wrath of God in eternity to look forward to. In closing, this defilement comes from within. They are in our hearts, listen, from birth. In the corrupt nature, the carnal mind, the evil that is in the heart. So what did Genesis 6:5 say? And God saw that the wickedest man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's what he saw in all men. Listen, it has been there since conception. Psalm 51:5 would speak of that. In iniquity I was conceived. Oh, people write that off all kinds of different ways. But listen, that's not the only part. That's not the only scripture that talks about original sin or sin that came from Adam and Eve. Look at Ecclesiastes 9:3. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, listen to this. The hearts of children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Children in the womb come with a sinful nature. And this within defiles the man. Listen, there is no fellowship with God in this state. We do not have Hebrews 4:16 to fall upon. For it is by grace, let's see, it's not going to come to me. We only can come into the presence of a holy God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's 4:16. Jeannie, is that it? She's looking it up for me. There's no fellowship with God in this state. In this is not dealt with, our eternity will not be with God. Is that it? Yeah, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. How do we go in the presence of a holy God? No other way than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is what I want to ask you this morning. Are you willing to own what lives in your sinful human nature? And stop blaming your circumstances or some other person for the evil thoughts in particular come to your mind. So next week, listen, if you'll come back next week, I'm not going to leave you hanging. There is a solution. Amen? Tom?
Well, I can assure you that sermon was tough on our